Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, here we go. Just chatting with Adam off air. It's 8 past 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Newstalk, 830 WCC. Let's get to the purple. We're more sports again today than normal because Billy Guerin threw us off. We expected Billy to be on Thursday. Should I ask him right away? I could say, I mean, your team is off to a great start, but we're more concerned, why weren't you on your regular day?
And that's the biggest issue that they have right now, clearly.
Yeah, that's our biggest concern. Now, what if it's like some family thing? You know, it's like some important family thing. So that.
How important?
Well, like a child issue.
What kind of issue?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you know me, I enjoy the yucking it up, but also these mentions, well, you know, a child has this issue, or my wife has this issue, or I had this health issue, and then what do I do then?
Maybe just wanted to get win in the bag before having you ruin it.
Well, they did. So we're going to talk purple. Biggest loss last night for the Vikings was?
Christian Darrisaw.
All right, we're going to get to it. There are three strong contenders. That's for a couple segments. Major, I don't think we might get to a little frivolity with Major, but I was jotting down all the things politically I want to talk with Major. It was like 18 sheets.
It's been a busy week.
And by the way, the election is 11 days away. And again, I think if the election was today, I think Donald would win. Just barely. I'm not convinced. I want to see what he has to say about that. Feisty Friday. Shaletta, is she in the house?
No, she's not.
Has she given up? Has she just given up at the station completely?
I mean, 2 weeks ago, she complained about gas prices being too high. I believe the prices have dipped.
They're lower than they've been in multiple years. Of course, Biden is controlling them. And he's got his finger on the pulse.
Thanks, Joe.
Billy Guerin, 135. Caller. I think we might just do one segment caller because I do want to get a couple other things. And then you. Get to you about 248 or something.
Not me. The committee.
The committee. Am I wrong? Okay. Vikings lose. Here are my three contenders. And by the way, if you have something off the board, chime in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226. Biggest loss last night. Let's go in this sequence. The loss. I mean, the biggest loss last night was the loss. Sunday, about 11:55, they, along with the Chiefs, were the only undefeated teams in the National Football League. They played a spirited, competitive, tough guy game against the Detroit Lions, and they lose. And we came here, and I think a lot of others were expressing something fairly similar. You know, you got to win the game. There were areas where you could criticize the Vikings. That's unavoidable if you lose, but he still came out of that game saying the Lions and the Vikings are the clear-cut two best teams in the NFC. Now they play a game a few days later. The Rams get two enormous additions. They go from really nobody at wide receiver to Puka and Coop. As KOC was calling after the game. Two great wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford, who some people were suggesting, he's dead, he's done, he's gone. He looked pretty spectacular last night, didn't he?
He did all right.
He was really good last night. So now you're 5-2. You already are behind in the loss column with the Lions. They've got the victory at the bank. And now you start saying, well, where are the Packers in this mix? Where are the Commanders in this mix? Could the 49ers figure themselves out? So the loss is a contender for what was the biggest loss. I figured they had to be one, the loss.
Okay.
Number two, who you said. Christian Darrisaw, I'm going to call him the most irreplaceable player on the team. JJ, I don't know, is JJ absolutely the best wide receiver in football? If he's not, he's top three, right?
He's in the mix.
He's absolutely in the mix. And by the way, he's looking more frustrated by the game.
He is.
For a guy who hasn't had any of the wide receiver diva stuff, the helmet throwing, the frustration, Jets game, Lions game, this game, he has fewer passes targeting him through seven games since his rookie year. Remember, he didn't play his first two games. Or he didn't start. He barely played.
He got his last night. Not a ton of targets, but the ones that were targeted, he caught and he got his yards.
Okay, he did early. He got the five catches, first two drives. Then he kind of vanishes. Then third quarter. By the way, I don't think he caught that ball, the sideline. It was great, but I thought when it's up at the helmet and as he's going down, I thought it jostled a little bit.
I thought it was good enough.
Maybe it was close enough where it's not clear and convincing enough to overrule. That's a fair point. But Christian Darrisaw is, again, if he's not the best left tackle in football, he's top three. And in theory, at the wide receiver position, even though, can we just say Jordan Addison has been a disappointment this year? His numbers aren't very good.
Didn't see him a whole lot last night.
I mean, I know he missed a couple games, but is he a presence out there? Do you notice him? Seems like you notice Naylor more as the second wide receiver than you do Addison now when he's the second receiver.
Notice Naylor when he's dropping balls that are right in his gut.
I mean, enormous play. And again, could Darnold have run for that first time? Yes. He's got speedy, open, minimum first down, and I think it's 95% a touchdown, don't you?
Yeah, there was a defender that might get him, but make a little move. You can get in the zone.
At worst, it's first and goal, the five.
Yes, and it's inside the five.
On TV, I don't think they made nearly enough about that play. That is an enormous play. But Darrisaw, so let's get to the circumstance. 43 seconds left. Really good punt. 5-yard line. And they call a run. Now, did you think automatically they had to take an either at the 5-yard line?
Weren't they inside the five? Because they had the penalty on the punt, too, that made it half the distance.
Okay.
I thought they were like the two.
No, then you're 100% right. I was thinking about the face mask, by the way. They were at the three. So they're at the three with 43 seconds left. KOC calls you in Woodbury. Says, Harrigan, what should we do here? 43 seconds left. At the three, what are you doing?
If you're at the 3-yard line, there's plenty of room to take the snap and put your knee down.
Yeah, our guy Collar, who we're going to talk about, he was tweeting how it's hard to take a knee down there. I'm like, no.
If you're at the one,
yeah,
then you got a problem, even the two, perhaps.
To me, you do one of two things. You either throw the ball, because you're going to need to pick up some significant yardage, 43 seconds, 3-yard line, or you take the knee. I just didn't agree with the run among all the options, and he gets rolled up on. And again, we'll say this again, get out of here with the automatic doctors who've diagnosed him by watching it on TV. And I know sometimes they're right. Just seems weird to me. I mean, I got it. We got telehealth now. It's just there's something a little creepy where the doctor who's really the doctor who's saying, I'm a doctor. I'm Doc Rivers. I'm Doc Severinsen. I'm Bugs Bunny. Other doctors who are providing medical diagnosis last night of Christian Darrisaw's knee. What other doctors do you have?
Didn't know Bugs was a doc. He referred to people as doc.
I think he is. Like, I think he's referencing people because he's a doc.
Oh.
That's
okay.
I read Bugs' mind closer to
okay, Elmer Fudd.
Mm-hmm. And then former Royals reliever Dan Quisenberry comes in. And I don't think it's good when you have a former Royals sidewinding relief pitcher in.
He's put on the weight, though. I mean, he certainly has that going
on. You know what he hasn't put on? Enough weight. Because he was getting tossed around.
He got tossed a couple times.
You know, and he's not Darrisaw. By the way, about nobody is. And it's not just guard, not just center. It's left tackle.
No. And he wasn't terrible. He wasn't getting, you know, beat around every single play.
I don't think he was very good. And over game after game after game, if hypothetically he's out, I think that's going to be an enormous absence. And then let's get to the third. The B-Flow defense is apparently done. The B-Flow defense, apparently something happened when Naylor tried to fair catch the punt at Lambeau with the Vikings leading. What were they leading then?
28-0, I think.
Wasn't it like 29-3 or something crazy like that? Or was it? Maybe it was 28-0.
I think it was 28-zip at that
28-zip.
Point.
28-zip. And they scored. And then in the second half, Jordan Love was A-Rodge and Favre. You know? Rodgers looked pretty bad at times, but they also moved the ball. Now, Goff is great. We identified him last week in the official rankings of this show for that moment as the third best quarterback in football behind Mahomes and Jackson. And they have the best offense in football. But they allowed four straight scores in that game also. You can say after the four straight scores, they really stopped him. But last night, I'll give you two stats at some point. Their pressure. Okay, Alec Lewis has the one where 11.8% pressure. Second lowest of all the games this year. Any defense pressuring. Was it Lewis or Gesling? I forget. They rushed five or more, 11 of the 34 times. You know how many times he was sacked? That'd be zero.
Not enough.
Do you know how many times he was knocked down? Zero. And then I had a Seifert one, too. Let me go to Seifert. And by the way, remind me this. Did they draft Dallas Turner, or did I dream that? I normally don't dream about Vikings drafts. But didn't they make a bunch of moves to get a stud, versatile, rushing specialist, Dallas Turner? And now he's just basically out there to cover punts. And then he plays like three plays. I'm not willing to say this is Lewis seen yet. It's way, way, way too soon. And Alabama's on football all the time. And he was great at Alabama. He's just not out there. Here's from Seifert. They've got a different rating per ESPN. Pressured Stafford three of his 34 drawbacks. That's 9% pressure rate. That's the lowest in the game since 2020. So Lewis has got one at 11.8. ESPN's got another 9. Either way, horrible. I mean, which is the biggest loss? Harrigan, what do you say? Audience, what do you say? Your contenders are the actual loss, by the way. The game. What a novel concept. You can say the game is the actual loss. You can say Christian Darrisaw or the aura about the Vikings defense. She gone. What do you want to say? Majors 15 away. 651-461-9226.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The bumper music theme today, my guess is, after a seven-month break, the World Series will start tonight.
It's unbelievable.
It's absurd. It's just absurd. So we got New York music, L.A. music tied.
Yeah, exactly right. New York and L.A. theme tunes.
Yeah. Before we get back to the Vikings, are you buying this is the MLB finally gets their bird and magic? Right? It doesn't happen that often when the two best players play. I think most of us would agree right now. Ohtani is, okay, well, I'll just say, Ohtani's miles ahead of everybody, my opinion. Then Judge is second. Bobby Witt's a lot closer to Aaron Judge than I think than Judge is to Ohtani because, oh, by the way, when he starts and he pitches, he wins like 17 games and his ERA is like 1.8. I mean, and by the way, he you know, I'm not going to start this year, so you know what I'll do? I'll just steal 60 bases.
Fine.
I mean, and I won't next year, I don't think. But, yeah, so we'll get that. Before the biggest loss, can we get to the face mask thing early?
Sure.
Horrible, terrible, two refs looking at it. Hard to fathom. You could miss that right in front of you when a guy's neck almost spins.
Spinning like an owl.
Spins around like Goldie Gopher tomorrow at the mini bank. Should have been called. No doubt about it.
Yep.
What is their percentage for scoring if it's called? No timeouts left. They're at the 20, and now it was what?
About a minute 20 left or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, that's about right.
Good luck, boys.
They got to have a touchdown and a two-pointer.
Exactly. I give them about a 20% chance, maybe less.
That was my max, right? That wasn't Breanna Stewart 18 steps. That wasn't Alana Smith in position, no foul. By the way, again, game four, Lynx benefited, right? And by the way,
your opinion.
Lynx should have played better, right? You know me, I'm not that much of a referee person, but I dove into it a little bit in game five for sure. Terrible call. And again, reviewable. Are we going to review every penalty?
No. It's the best part about sports. Now we get to complain the next day. Review everything, fix everything. What are we going to talk about today? How the Vikings lost the game fairly? Please.
Biggest loss last night for Dave Harrigan was?
Well, if you're telling me they're losing the defense, if the defense is going to be giving up 30 points a night now as they've done the last 2 weeks.
That's the winner
for
me.
The last two games. Yeah, I mean, it's.
That's a loser for me, I guess.
Before I decided for World Series, the bump theme today was almost songs that don't have a D in them because it was going to be our homage to Beeflo and the Vikings.
It's a good run.
Yeah, it was a very good run. But, I mean, even the Packers put up 29. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah. Blake Cashman apparently is Dick Butkus, Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm, he's all of them.
Reggie White.
Yep. Singletary.
And
just
by the way, Anthony Edwards, because, you know, Ant, who was very, very good last night, he could lay out Derrick Henry. I hope we're not going to milk this too long, are we?
But, no, we have to.
They're better with Cashman, for sure. They gave up a lot of running yards last night. By the way, we mentioned this yesterday, the Rams, 30th-ranked rush defense. Aaron Jones really good early, and then after that, yuck.
Yeah.
What happened?
About 3 yards a carry, I think, average by the end of the night.
Among the texts, worst law is a KOC refused to go Cheryl Reeve on the ref. Another person blaming the officiating. Beeflo is a fraud. I'm not sure it's Beeflo is a fraud. I mean, he's still very good, but their defense has been an illusion compared to the first couple weeks.
Yeah, they're Mr. Blitz, right?
J.J. McCarthy blaming him? He's on the sidelines the last two games.
Wow.
Let's see. Koopa, Nacua, and three blind refs. Play calling needs to improve immediately. We'll probably get to this with Collar. But the data I saw last night on the scripted plays where the Vikings rank, like number one, number one, number one, and then once we're off the script and we're in the low to mid-20s, that's troubling. Now, I do know this because I'm not around it anywhere near like it used to, but it used to talk to a fair amount of coaches and coordinators and stuff. They say, yeah, we had the 15 plays, but sometimes it's third and 20, and you adjust.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's third and one, and you adjust. But you stay central to that. It's pretty far into the season to have that much of a disparity, though, on the first 15 plays to your number one and number two. And then in the other ones, you're in the 20s.
Yeah, that's odd. I mean, comparing the halves, eyeball tests, you can tell the offense is nowhere near in the second half what it is in the first, usually.
Whose defense is more troubling, the Vikings or the Wolves? Wolves won a very entertaining game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento is a very high-scoring team. The defense certainly was troubling against the Lakers. I'm not troubled by Sacramento scoring 115, but I do want to see it against some other teams. And, I mean, I guess I can't go on and on. They're missing Cat defensively.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem possible.
115 in the NBA isn't exactly shocking anymore.
No. Yeah. Why didn't the Vikings put any pressure on Stafford? He was awesome. Yeah. By the way, a rushing five or more only out of 11 of the 34, that's a pretty dramatic change. It didn't work. He was better. Major Garrett is next. I think he's magnanimous about Major Dave. Is that he's a San Diego native, loves the Padres, but now that the Padres are out, he's really about Southern California. So he's really about the Dodgers. You know, he's got on his Mookie Betts number 50.
I think it's actually half Mookie, half Ohtani.
Yeah, half Ohtani. So.
Yeah. You know, he's a guy who'll tip the cap and say, congratulations, L.A. Dodgers. You took out my pods. Now I shall cheer for
Let's
you.
Let's go, Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Doesn't sound like he's buying any of this.
No, I'm not buying any of it. Not buying any of
so
it. No, I'm not rooting for the Dodgers. I respect several Dodger players,
several.
Among those you just mentioned, and its manager, Dave Roberts. But I will never, ever, ever root for the Dodgers.
Mm.
So he's pro-Yankees. That does well in this market.
The little engine that could, the New York Yankees. That's what he's all for. All right, let's jump in. We got so much to discuss. There are a lot of people around the country, and I guess I'm one of them, who think Donald Trump has a little bit of the momentum right now. And that, and again, it's an electoral college. It's state by state. It's the 7-8 swing states that tell the tale. But that if the national polling is as close as it is, considering where the national polling was with Trump and Clinton, Trump and Biden, and the fact that it just doesn't seem that Harris, who had a chance to close the deal, that she's missed the opportunity. Not that she's going to lose, but that she had the opportunity, and that even the latest John Kelly Hitler, John Kelly fascist talk, that he's Teflon. So nothing sticks to him. So as of today, Donald Trump might be the slightest favorite. Do you buy that?
I don't. And I'm not saying that Harris is the favorite. Here's what I will say. And there is a legitimate mindset about where the polls are today and what we learned about them missing the Trump vote in 2016 and 2020. But let me put this in context. In 2020, the battleground polls had Trump about 4 to 4.5 percentage points below what he actually achieved, okay? And what he actually achieved in all the battleground states, and let's throw North Carolina into because it is one now and it wasn't back in 2020. The Biden campaign did not aggressively campaign in North Carolina as the Harris campaign is now. So we'll throw North Carolina into the mix. Trump, in all those battleground states, when all the votes were counted in 2020, got between 47.5 and 48.5. And the one county that he got slightly, one state he got slightly over 50 was North Carolina. That's where he's polling right now. So I believe the polls are accurately measuring where Trump is. I don't believe there's an undercount. I believe the polls are because they have gone through more modeling and more adaptations about how to find Trump voters. And after nearly 10 years in American life at the highest levels, I don't think there are any more quote unquote shy Trump voters. So I think Trump is about where he is. Not because if he isn't, and we're still undercounting by 5 percentage points, then he's going to win Pennsylvania 53-47. That's not going to happen. He's not going to win Michigan 53-47. That's not going to happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're capturing where things actually are. Here's another comparison I'd like everyone to consider. In 2012, when Obama ran against Mitt Romney, there were 14 polls conducted nationally before that election. 14. The election day in 2012 was November 6th. It's November 5th at this time. So there were 14 national polls in the 6 days leading up to election day. If you took the average of the margin in those polls, it was 1.6%. That close. Most of the polls in 2012 had the race tied. Obama won that by 3.9 percentage points. I'm not predicting a victory that large for Harris, but what I'm saying is we have seen in recent times an election where the polls were very close, and the difference was late breakers and ground game. The late breakers in this race are going to, as they typically do, go 60-40. Late breakers don't go 80-20, and they certainly don't go 100-0, but they go 60-40, and that 60-40 difference is oftentimes where victory is achieved or lost. And to your point, can Harris close it? Is she closing it? Is she missing opportunities to close it? Those late breakers oftentimes decide in the last week. So there's still an opening there for both candidates, but I will tell you this. Having talked to the Harris campaign, their focus groups are dialed in, and their data tells them over and over one thing. Those who are still yet to decide are fearful. They're anxious. And that anxiety is driven not by Harris, not by that she hasn't closed the deal. Their anxiety is driven about what comes if Trump is reelected, his return to office after everything we have learned, everything he did, and everything he has said. And that's why that anxiety is part of their closing message, even though plenty of critics say that's not what you should be doing.
Okay.
Their internal data tells them that's exactly what they should
do. So let's stay with that. And I need to get to the leader of the Freedom Caucus and what he said in the last hour, because it's bizarre. Okay. It's delusional. And by the way, I'm sure Donald Trump absolutely loves it. But so let's stay with this. And let's go back to, again, John Kelly. This is a Marine. This is a four-star general. This is not a man who's writing a book. He's not a paid guest on MSNBC. And yes, when he's speaking to the Atlantic and the New York Times, is he trying to shape the election? Of course he is. Yes, he is. when he talks about Trump referring to generals, when he says, by definition, he is a fascist. Obviously, the hardcore Trump folks are going to say, lying, don't believe him, he was fired, he's bitter, move on. And then the hardcore Democrats are going to just say, sure, another reason why I'm not voting. So two things. How much should Harris emphasize that part of the story? Not her, you know, here's what I'm going to bring. How much of it should be, do not forget how frightening we think he was 4 years ago, and he's worse now. And then who are they? Who are these late changers? I mean, for me, I've said to me, they're a little bit of, and it's a combination, but the Haley voters who kept voting for Haley, who philosophically are probably 80 to 90% Republicans, but they find Trump abhorrent. And they're trying to decide, is it character or is it policy?
Right. Is it inflation or the nation?
Yeah, that's very good. I'm going to steal that going forward, too, by the way.
Which is it? Is it inflation or the nation? And for the Harris campaign and for the Trump campaign, it's like, let's rhetorically ask this question. Do you detect, Chad, does anyone in your audience detect an overt effort by the Trump campaign to speak to Haley voters? Have you heard it?
Never. Zero.
The only
time he talked about her, he made fun of her.
Right. And that's because they have decided that they're going to go in a completely different direction, either that they're not winnable or they will compensate by finding new voters in other places, which means Latino men, African-American men. And that is a risk. Doesn't mean it's not going to work, but it is a risk. Why? Because that's asking a demographic group in this country that participates less than African-American women and Latino women, number one. Number two would be doing not only a behavioral thing that they're not accustomed to do, voting, but also crossing over to do a different kind of voting. Not impossible, certainly not impossible, but less assured than established voting behavior and established voting patterns. So the Harris campaign believed, that's why there was Liz Cheney, that those either they think of themselves as one of two things. I think a lot of them still think of themselves as Reagan Republicans, but let's call them Haley Republicans.
Okay.
And they are predominantly in suburban areas around Philly, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, certainly Detroit, Charlotte, Raleigh, Atlanta, certainly Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Nevada. What are they going to do? And are they, and all our polling at CBS, I know the Harris internals and the Trump internals tell them the same thing. They're torn. They don't like the economic policies of Biden and Harris. They're not really sold on her. They're not really convinced that she's the best thing for America. But they cannot still bring themselves to do what they may have done before, suck it up and vote for Trump. And that inability to go back to Trump where they have been before tells the Harris campaign and worryingly tells the Trump campaign they are still up for grabs. Even though, from your perspective, how much more information do you need? They still need more.
But 2.5 to 3 minutes left with Major. So the head of the Freedom Caucus, this is in Congress, is Andy Harris. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Harris recently, in fact, last night, told the folks that the North Carolina legislators should consider awarding the state's electors to Donald Trump before votes are counted. So before a single vote is counted, due to the impact of Hurricane Helene, this is frightening, this is bizarre, this is delusional. And then I get to the Pew poll, which has come out recently, where only a third of Trump supporters say they'll accept a narrow loss. Buckle up. Mm-hmm. Here we go again.
Past is prologue. You cannot tell yourself that you are legitimately surprised when someone who wanted to disenfranchise voters in 2020, wants to disenfranchise them preemptively in 2024. It's the same process. the people who wanted to contest and throw out and invalidate election results in 2020 wanted to disenfranchise voters, full stop. And they want to do it again. The putative reason Andy Harris cited was, well, the hurricane made it hard to vote in what is predominantly Trump country in Western North Carolina. So we can just assume what those vote totals were going to be and give the state to Trump. Here's a little bit of information. People think Michigan and Pennsylvania were closer in 2020 than North Carolina was. Wrong. North Carolina was won by Trump by just over 74,000 votes. Biden won Pennsylvania by just over 81,000 votes and more than 150,000 votes in Michigan. We don't hear anything in North Carolina. Why? Because he won. There's never a problem for Trump in a state that he wins.
Exactly.
Okay? So, right. North Carolina was close in 2020. That's what Republicans are freaked out about. Their gubernatorial candidate, Mark Robinson, has been immolating for the last month. Trump doesn't even know his name anymore.
No. Yes.
Okay?
Vanished.
They're deeply concerned about the 16 electoral votes in North Carolina. So somebody says, let's preemptively award them to Trump. Let's not even count votes.
Think about that.
That's the kind of thing that will get people's attention, not just in North Carolina, but nationwide, because I will give them this. There is a feral consistency to it. You want to disenfranchise once, you want to disenfranchise again. And if you believe that's what American democracy looks like, well, check your constitution.
Let's go, Max Muncy. Come on. Let's go, Will Smith. I mean, which Dodger are you hoping has a big series? Maybe.
Oh, I'm all on Mookie.
Mookie.
Yeah. Mike Piazza, too. He's going to come
Freeman,
back and just hit bombs.
The ghost of Tommy could be there.
Yes. Fernando Valenzuela. He may have left us, but he might be back.
Yes. Noted Dodger lover, Major Garrett, on News Talk 830.
Oh,
this will be his final appearance with us.
All right.
I'm kidding.
All right.
Hit the button.
All right. Bye now.
All right. So Sunday's it. Unless something stunning happens, there are no signs that's going to happen. The only senatorial debate between, I guess, the heavyweight champ and the underdog. Right. Amy Klobuchar has won all the races by big margins. Royce White shocked everybody, jumped into the race as a Republican, gets the endorsement, wins the primary. These two are going to meet for the only time with Blois Olson. Sunday take right here. Limited commercials, 9 a.m. thanks to the Minnesota Credit Unions and AARP. Royce is an absolute flamethrower on social media. We'll belittle. We'll go to the macho card. We'll act like a juvenile. Let's see how he acts with Klobuchar in the room. Let's see how on substantive policy he goes after and how she responds to that. Because normally she likes the friendly questions also.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Well, there's a reason why she's not on the show. Okay, there's a reason why certain shows she's on and certain shows she's not on, and that's pretty clear. Linda's construction time check is 12:50. Let's go 7. Time to get your free installation labor on Minnesota Made Infinity from Marvin Windows.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.